because I got only one Holy Father. That is my Holy Father who is in heaven. He's worthy of praise. Thank you, Lord. We bless his name today. Come on, put your hands together and bless the Lord one more time, everybody. Amen and amen. If you would stand with me now as we go to the word of the Lord, to the book of St. Luke, chapter 19. The book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 29 to 40. And I want you to read it with me. Luke chapter 19. The Bible says in verse 29, "And came to pass when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mount called that he sent and saying and on which no one has ever sat, loose him and bring it here." Verse 31 now. "And if anyone asks, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because," verse 32, "so those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them." Verse 33, "But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why?" Verse 34, "And they said, the Lord hath need of him." Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt. They set Jesus on him. And as he went, many. And what else? "Then as he was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke thy disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." I want to talk to you today from the subject, "Ain't No Rocks Crying Out For Me." God bless your word today. May your word liberate, emancipate, and set us free to worship you, to adore you, to give you glory for who you are and for all the mighty things you've done. In Jesus' name, let everybody say amen and amen. It is Palm Sunday, the week of the crucifixion of Jesus, and this would be his last visit to the city of Jerusalem. I love the way the book Desire of Ages on page 570, the inspired pen paints a beautiful picture. She says, "It was on the first day of the week that Christ made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Multitudes would flock to see him at Bethany, now accompanied him, eager to witness his reception. Many people were on their way to the city to keep the Passover, and these joined the multitude attending Jesus." Watch this now. I like this picture. Are you with me, everybody? Touch your neighbor. Tell them, stay with the preacher. Stay with the preacher. I love this picture. Watch this picture she paints. Ellen White, in the book Desire of Ages, page 570, she says, "All nature seemed to rejoice. The trees were clothed with verdure. Their blossoms shed a delicate fragrance on the air. A new life and joy animated the people. The hope of the new kingdom was again springing up. Purposing to ride into Jerusalem, Jesus had sent two of his disciples to bring him an ass and its colt. It's interesting the way the four Gospels paint this picture. You know that the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called the Synoptic Gospels because they are similar in the stories that they tell. That's why they are synoptic. They give the same stories, the same parables. John, on the other hand, is unique. It is a standalone gospel. John is the only of the four gospels that starts with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John was the only one who goes back before the birth of Jesus to his eternal preexistence. Are y'all with me today? Oh, somebody ought to say amen. We welcome these mighty men of valor here today. We thank God for them. I was bragging about them earlier this week. I told somebody one is 15 and he's 6'4", 280 pounds. If we ever play touch football, he is on my offensive line. We love these young boys, and we thank God for them. And Pastor, it's good to see you. We welcome them to the Church of the Oranges today. Come on, the Larry Vaux boys. And so you see this picture being painted by the gospel writers. Matthew, as a matter of fact, is the only of the three gospels that highlights the fact that there were two donkeys, the mother donkey and the colt. Matthew says Jesus sent with special focus on bringing the colt. But the mother would come along seemingly to calm the younger donkey, especially in the midst of the shouting throng. It would seem that Jesus wanted the mother to be that calming influence. Remember, there's something about a colt, a donkey. If you ever grew up in the country, anybody grew up in the country, you know there are stubborn donkeys. Anybody ever met a stubborn donkey? We grew up on a farm, and we had one donkey named Jenny. And Jenny was one of those donkeys that never wanted to carry a load. And if you got on Jenny's back, she was trying to find a way to throw you off. Can I get a witness, somebody? Jenny was so mean. Jenny would go down by the barbed wire fence and kneel down on her front knees so that you could slide off her head into the barbed wire fence and cut yourself up. Jenny was a mean donkey. And so the Bible says that Jesus would get on the colt, unbroken. There are four unique things that jump out of these verses that I want to leave with you today. The first thing that jumps out of the text is this: the repose of the animal, the repose of the donkey. The second thing in this text is the rejoicing of the children. The third, the rebuke of the religious leaders. And finally, we see the response of Jesus. Again, this unbroken colt is reposed because the donkey knew who was sitting on its back. The donkey understood that the one sitting on my back is not some ordinary person. This is the one who created life, including the life of the donkey. As a matter of fact, it's interesting that when Jesus sent word with his disciples to bring the donkey, and he said, "If anybody asks you, who is it that wants this donkey? Tell them the Lord hath need." That word translated Lord means master, lord, or owner. In other words, Jesus was trying to communicate that this donkey really belongs to me. Because Jesus is the owner of all creation. Somebody ought to say amen out there. And so as he sat on this donkey, the donkey realized, the owner is sitting on me. The master is sitting on me. The one who is in charge of me is sitting on me. You must remember that Jesus already exercised his dominion over nature, his jurisdiction over nature. When the disciples were concerned about who's going to pay tribute to Caesar, Jesus says, go down by the sea and throw your line in the water. You'll catch a fish, and the fish that you catch will have money in its mouth. Y'all didn't hear what I just said, because Jesus had that fish designated to be a scuba diving money collecting fish. Come on, somebody, who would bring money up to handle his business. That's why, as a believer, you should never be concerned about your money. Because if Jesus can have fish bring up money from the bottom of the sea, he can handle my mortgage. He can handle my light bill. He can make a way when there is no way. He can fix my circumstance. Can I get a witness, somebody? He controls fish, and he controls donkeys, and he controls my situation. Look at your neighbor. Tell him, stop stressing. The Lord has your back. Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will bring it to pass. He will work it out. He will fix your situation. And so here it was. Jesus comes now down the Mount of Olives. The crowds are shouting. And what they're shouting is Zechariah 9 and verse 9. They are really reflecting on the prophecy of Zechariah 9 verse 9, where the Bible says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon the colt and the foal of an ass. You got to remember this. In most earthly kingdoms, a newly crowned king would come riding on a horse, or a conquering king returning from battle would come riding on a horse. But Jesus is now here following the tradition of the kings of Israel. He is coming in peace, not in war. And so he comes in humility, sitting on a donkey, symbolizing that he is indeed the Prince of Peace. Unbroken coat, unridden coat, but under the full control of Jesus. The prophecy was a fulfillment of the Messiah's coming. You got to remember, people anticipated that when the Messiah comes, he's going to take dominion over all of the enemies of Israel. The armies of the Romans would be vanquished. And so, as Jesus mounts the donkey, the people sense his kingdom has finally come. Jesus is about to wipe out our enemies. He's about to take his rightful place on the throne of David. And he's going to reign as king and Lord and master of all. But you got to remember this. They wanted to crown Jesus before, but his time had not yet come. Remember that when he fed the 5,000, they wanted to make him king then. But the thing I love about God is that he does everything in his time. Can I get a witness, somebody? He does everything in his time. You may expect him to come today, but he may show up tomorrow. You may expect him to come last week, but he'll show up next week. He'll come right in the nick of time when your back is against the wall. I'm talking to somebody here today. When you're at your wit's end and you don't know which way to turn, you don't know whether to look up or look down, look right or left, I stop by to tell you today that you've got to trust God, because he'll show up right on time. Somebody ought to say amen out there. And so as Jesus sits on this donkey, he begins to make his way down the Mount of Olives. Israel sees the great vision of their future, and they begin to shout, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were praising him because they had great expectations. But there's a second point in the story. Not only do we see the submission of the donkey, not only do we see the repose of the donkey, but we see, secondly, the rejoicing of the children. Now, the thing that we all love about children is their honesty. If you don't want to be told the truth, don't ask a child. Because if you ask them, how does my breath smell? And it doesn't smell right, they're going to go, ew. Am I talking to anybody today? You know, children will tell the truth. But these children had been blessed by Jesus. They had been healed by his miracles. They were touched by his hand of love. They knew that he was no ordinary man. And so they led the procession in shouting and in giving praise to him. Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The word Hosanna is actually used only in this instance in Scripture. They were behind him. They were beside him. They were in front of him crying Hosanna. The word means save, rescue, savior. I pray, help. In the Hebrew text, it is actually used in Psalm chapter 118 and verse 25. Remember this. In Jewish literature, the word is applied specifically to what they call the Hosanna service, a cycle of prayers from which a selection is sung each morning during what they call Sukkoth or Sukkoth, or the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. The complete cycle is sung on the seventh day of the festival, which is called the Hosanna Rabbah, or the Great Hosanna. Now watch me. Stay with me. The Feast of Tabernacles. Hear me now. The Feast of Tabernacles was the final feast on the Jewish calendar. It was the last of all the feasts. And the Feast of Tabernacles pointed to one thing and one thing only. The Feast of Tabernacles pointed to the ultimate celebration that will take place at the end of time, when Jesus Christ shall come and shall vanquish the enemies, and he shall reign as King and Lord forever and ever. What we see here now then in the text is a precursor, is a prelude to the final celebration that will take place when the trumpet of the Lord shall come and the dead in Christ shall rise and the morning will break eternal bright and fair. Y'all not with me today? So if they were shouting Hosanna then, what will we be shouting when Jesus comes? When all of this is wrapped up, when there'll be no more Congress, no more Senate, no more filibuster, or the wiping out of the filibuster, no more Trump, and no more, y'all not here. When Jesus will sit on his throne as Lord and God and King, if there was shouting then, there's going to be a whole lot of shouting when Jesus comes. Can I get a witness, somebody? So here's what I got to tell you. If you don't like shouting, you'll have a problem in heaven. Because heaven is going to be a noisy place. I wish I had a church today. I said, heaven is going to be a noisy place. The great surprise in heaven is not going to be how you got there, but how I got there. Can I get a witness, somebody? And it will be nothing but by the grace of God that any of us will make it in. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So here they were in this preamble to the joyful and final event. The children cried with the rest of the people, save, Hosanna, rescue, Hosanna, Savior, Hosanna, help. The children testified that the nation was lost and needed a Savior. He was their hope. He was their go-to in the midst of desperation. He was their way out. He was their way through. He was their burden bearer. He was their liberator. I have a feeling that in America today, somebody needs to be crying out, Lord, help. Lord, save. Lord, rescue. Jesus, we need you. If there's ever a time we need the Lord before, we sure do need him now. Can I get a witness, somebody? We need him. We need him in our nation. And I'm praying, Lord, let there be some grown folks and some children who will cry out to you for a divine interception, because our world, our nation is heading down the wrong path. God, turn us around in the name of Jesus. Help us. They praised him down the mountain. They praised him all the way to the temple court. They just kept on praising him. They looked around and they saw Lazarus leading the donkey. You wonder why the text highlight the fact that Jesus was coming from Bethany, because that's where he healed Lazarus. And so Lazarus was a living, breathing testimony of the supernatural, miraculous power of Jesus Christ. Here goes Lazarus leading the donkey. Come on, somebody. They saw the people who were blind and who were lame and who were crippled and who were dumb, whose lips Jesus had on stop, and they could not help themselves. They kept on lifting him up because they knew if it had not been for the supernatural miracle working power of Jesus, they would be in the same places that they were before he found them. Do I have any witnesses out there? But he had healed them. He had restored them. He had delivered them. He had set them free, and they could not help but praise him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But hear me now. You will never praise God and not get somebody upset for being too enthusiastic in your praise. Again, the first thing we see, the repose of the animal. The second thing, the rejoicing of the children. But the third thing in this text is the rebuke of the critics. Scribes and priests and religious leaders. Always somebody trying to steal your joy. Always somebody trying to curtail your praise. In the Old Testament, when David danced before the Lord, his wife accosted him for going too far and just plain showing off, David. You had to show off, David. There's always a praise police who just don't want you to go too far. Calm it down now. You know, just all that excitement ain't necessary. All that shouting and carrying on, hallelujah. And in some churches, hallelujah is like cussing. Like, hallelujah. Praise police. So the Pharisees, as they heard the shout, they did not initially know who it was. And so they inquired of the disciples, why all this noise? Who is this? The disciples had a glad response. They repeated the prophecies concerning Jesus. They said, you want me to tell you who he is? He's Adam. He is the seed. He's the seed of the woman that shall bruise the serpent's head. If you ask Abraham, he will tell you he is Melchizedek, King of Salem, King of Peace. If you ask Jacob, he'll tell you he's Shiloh of the tribe of Judah. If you ask Isaiah, he will tell you he's Emmanuel, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. If you ask Jeremiah, he'll tell you he's the branch of David, the Lord our righteousness. If you ask Daniel, he'll tell you he's the Messiah. If you ask Hosea, he will tell you he's Lord of Hosts, the Lord is his memorial. Ask John the Baptist. John the Baptist will tell you he's the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. If you ask God himself, God will declare, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. If you ask the demons in hell themselves, they will declare, I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. The praise police tried to stop the people. And when they could not stop them, they appealed directly to Jesus. Stop them, Jesus. They've gone too far. Stop them, Jesus. Too much noise in the church. Stop him, Jesus. Now, just touch your neighbor right now and tell him, if you are the praise police, you might as well arrest me right now. Because when I think about the blessings of the Lord, is there anybody who knows what I'm talking about? When I think about the favor of the Lord, I can't help myself. Sometimes I try to be dignified and say amen in chorus with everybody else. Sometimes I try to keep it to myself. But when I think about what God brought me from and what God brought me through and where I could have been, but I'm here today by His grace and mercy, I try to say it in a whisper, but it comes out in a shout. Can I tell you my story? I was lost and He found me. I was sick and He healed me. I was broken and He mended me. I was hurt and He soothed me. I was stressed and He calmed me. I was crooked and He straightened me out. I was chained and He set me free. I said I was chained and He set me free. I was addicted and He gave me victory. Can I get a witness out there? I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within. I was sinking to rise no more. But, I said, but the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters He lifted me. Now saved am I. Somebody ought to give Him a praise. Somebody ought to worship Him. Has He brought you out? Has He brought you through? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Bless His name. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. I'll be done in 5 minutes. Can you stay with me? Sit down for a minute. Sit. I've always wanted to say that in an Adventist church. Sit down for a minute. Here's my concern. My concern is that some of the biggest critics of praise are the biggest hypocrites you'll find anywhere. Now, if your praise is silent and introspective, that's okay. Is that all right, everybody? If you cry, that's okay. Can I get a witness out there? But if you're a shouter, come on now. You don't criticize me for my shout. You experience God your way just as long as you experience Him. Can I get a witness, somebody? The problem is you got the critics of praise who, like these religious leaders, were the biggest of hypocrites, who were, in fact, prostituting the temple to such an extent that Jesus, at the end of His ride, would throw them out of the temple. So what were they doing? Jesus says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." What did He mean by that, Pastor? What did He mean by "you have made it a den of thieves"? The priests and rulers were working in cahoots with merchants so that if you came to the temple with your lamb to offer, the priest would find fault with your lamb. Say, no, that lamb got three good legs. and one leg is a quarter inch too short. So we're not going to accept that for the sacrifice. And you must now go and buy from the merchants in the vestibule, in the yard, in the courtyard, if you please. Are you with me, everybody? The issue was that when you went and bought from the merchants in the courtyard, the priests were getting a kickback. Y'all didn't hear what I just said. So it was to their advantage to find fault with your stuff so that you could buy from the merchants who were going to give them a kickback. So let me clarify for you one more time. It wasn't about selling tickets for a concert in church. Because some of us are bent out of shape. Oh, no, you can't have tickets for the church because it was the church. And now you, no, it had nothing to do with that. This was a scheme that Jesus was addressing. Are y'all with me, everybody? Are y'all learning something? Jesus was addressing a scheme. Now watch me. There are churches who got schemes. Oh, y'all didn't say amen. There are churches who have schemes. There are churches where, you know, one day the folks were so tired of the pastor in the church, they had picket signs outside saying, "Pimp in the pulpit." Pastor rolling up in his Bentley. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I told him that wasn't an Adventist pastor. We can't even buy a new Mercedes. We got to, if we get one, it's gonna be secondhand. Somebody looked at me driving a nice car the other day and they said, "Your brother Rudy takes care of you, doesn't he?" I'm like, "Thank you, Lord, for Rudy." Can I get a witness, somebody? Because we don't roll like that. One day I was out with some Baptist pastors at a convention, and when I told them, I said, "You know, this is my salary." They said, "Really?" I said, "What's your Christmas bonus?" I told them, I said, "What do you do for your birthday and your anniversary?" I said, "Birthday, anniversary." They said, "Stoddard, as long as you're with us, you ain't got to pay for no lunch. Just sit down. We got you covered." They felt so sorry for me. They took out a water cash, just peeling back hundreds. But we don't do this for money. We do this because we love the Lord. Can I get a witness, somebody? I told somebody one day, I said, "If I was a Pentecostal preacher, I would have my jet by now." Can I get a witness, somebody? Some prince in Arabia would have paid $65 million for my jet. Come on now. But I'm determined that come what may, I will not sell my soul for that which is cheap. I'm going to stand. Come on, somebody. Come. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm on this word right here. Somebody give him praise. I'm standing on the word. I'm believing on the word. I'm sticking by the word. If it's in the word, I want it. Can I get a witness, somebody? The record tells us that these men, these scribes and Pharisees, were duplicitous schemers looking for ways to take advantage of the people. Shut them up, Jesus. Tell them to stop, Jesus. Tell them no more, Jesus. But Jesus said, wait a minute. No. Mm-mm. Because if they don't praise me, the rocks will start shouting. So let's review what we have talked about. In this story, we see, first of all, the repose of the animals. Secondly, we see the rejoicing of the children. Thirdly, we see the rebuking remarks of the religious leaders. And finally, we see the response of Jesus. Jesus, I love the way Jesus operated. Jesus said, "Let them alone. Let them be. For I don't want to have to open the mouths of these inanimate objects, rocks, to praise me. I want to tell somebody today that ain't no rocks crying out for me. Like these folks on the mountain, Jesus looked over the crowd and he saw and he heard their grateful hearts and their grateful praise. He knew their stories, for he had set the captives free. He had delivered the brokenhearted, and they were not going to let the rocks cry out for them. 20 years ago, when my brother was shot and killed in Philadelphia, I knew that that could have been me, because there was a time when I had issues with my dad and I was thinking about running away from home and going where he was. So 20 years ago when they shot and killed him in Philadelphia, I knew that that could have been me. But God. Some of you have been in some places and a bullet was meant for you, but God. Do I have any witnesses out there? When I pass by and I see the homeless man or the man addicted to drugs or alcohol on the street, I know there go I, but God. So ain't no rocks gonna cry out for me. Can I get a witness, somebody? I had a roommate when I first went to Oakwood University. His name was Darrell White. He died of brain cancer some 14 years ago. I thought to myself, why Darrell and not me? But God. So ain't no rocks gonna cry out for me. My college roommate when I was at Andrews University and childhood friend, his name was Steve Brewster McCarthy. He also died of brain cancer. And I thought to myself, God, the man was barely 40 years old. There go I, were it not for the grace of God. Nothing but God. So ain't no rocks gonna cry out for me. I went to Oakwood University with $200 in my pocket in 1980. I had a half gallon can of government peanut butter and great faith. I graduated in 1984 with a double major with honors. I had friends who lost their way, dropped out, quit school, never came back. There go I, but God. So ain't no rocks. I said ain't no rocks. Ain't no rocks gonna cry out for me. God has delivered me. God has saved me. The devil had a plan for me. He would have killed me a long time ago, but God blocked it. He wouldn't let it be so. So you don't know my story. When I think about what God has brought me out of, what God has brought me through, what God, somebody knows what I'm talking about, what God has saved me from, the times I set out to mess up my own life, but God stood in my way. I didn't have enough sense to stop myself, but God stopped me. Do I have any witnesses out there today? So excuse me if I lose a little sophistication and praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Jesus, blessed Savior, He's worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, He's worthy. Jesus is worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Can I get a witness? Has He been there? Has He brought you through? Has He delivered you? Has He set you free? Has He blessed you? Has He bound the hand of the enemy in your life? Give Him a praise. You couldn't bless yourself. You didn't have sense enough to deliver yourself. Oh, but bless his name. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, God, my God. I love you. Can't help myself. Oh, praise him. Songwriter says, when I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I got a testimony. I got a thank you, Jesus. Some of y'all come from some country bush back a wall, and the only reason you are here is because of the grace and the mercy of God. I just came back from Haiti on Tuesday, and I was out in the boondocks, 7 hours away from Port-au-Prince. Port-au-Prince, this place that has all the extremes of wealth and sophistication at its extreme and poverty at the other extreme. And we were out in the bushes. And when I realized that for me to get a shower, I had to go collect water, bring it in, and find a way to take a shower with less than 2 gallons. Y'all didn't hear me. No running water. But the Haitian people survive. Resilient. Strong. Determined. We got electricity for 4 hours a day off the generator. No internet. You want to go to the bathroom, you take your flashlight. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We were out in the country. But the people loved the Lord. They had hearts that were pure. They wanted to do good. They wanted a better life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Can I tell you this? The difference between the people in Haiti and the people who grew up in South Carolina is just a matter of where the ship stopped on the way. The ship stopped in Trinidad. Stopped in Grenada, stopped in Haiti, stopped in Jamaica, then came to New Orleans or South Carolina. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So before you stick your nose up in the air as if you have done something on your own, you are where you are because of the mercy and the grace and the munificence of Almighty God. Thank you, God. Could have been me, but God. Somebody ought to stand and give him a praise right now. Stand on your feet and give him a praise right now. Because if you don't praise him, the pews will cry out. If you don't praise him, the lights will cry out. Ain't no rocks, ain't no pews, ain't no lights crying out for me. I'm going to praise him for myself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We bless your name in this place today. Oh, Lord. Our hearts are pregnant with praise. We are grateful, Lord, to think that I had friends that I went to college with who died, and they were younger than me. They were younger than I am, and they died 14, 15 years ago, and I'm still here. I'm still alive. Your grace and mercy, oh God, pray that we'll never take any blessing for granted. We'll never take any opportunity for granted. We'll never take the ability to open our mouths and give you praise for granted. We'll never take walking for granted. We'll never take talking for granted. We'll never take our vision for granted. We'll never take our education for granted. We'll never take each other for granted. We'll never take our families for granted. We'll never take our freedoms for granted. All of that could have been gone, but God. And so on this day, the precursor to Palm Sunday, we give you honor and glory and praise, and we join with the multitude in crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, because ultimately it's all about Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering our prayers today and for being in our midst. Before I wrap up and sit down, I got to give somebody an opportunity here today who just wants to say, Pastor, I want to give the Lord my heart. I want to start a new life with Jesus. I want him as the Lord of my life. If you want him as the Lord of your life today, you want to surrender yourself to him, I want you to just raise your hand where you are. You want to accept Jesus? You want to receive him? Come on, raise your hand where you are right now. Just raise your hand. Raise your hand. Where are you? Child of God, where are you? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come here, boy. Come here. Come on. Come on. Stay right here. Stay right here. Stay right here. Who else wants to take a stand on the Lord's side? He's the best thing that will ever happen to you. Who else is going to come? Who's coming? Who's coming? Come on, this is your day. Come on. Come on. New life. New life. New life in Jesus. New life in Jesus. New life in Jesus. Come on, new life in Jesus. New life in Jesus. Come on. The children are leading out. New life in Jesus. Who's coming? Who's coming? Who's coming? You just want to praise him for your life. Give him your life. Give him your life today. Come on. Where are you? From the rising up until the going down of the shame, he's worthy. Jesus is, hallelujah, he's worthy, he's worthy. Oh, why don't you give him, why don't you, come on children, come on and pray. He's Jesus, blessed Savior. He's worthy. Now, let me line this appeal up with our sermon. The children led the way in crying Hosanna. That's why these children came down. Because, come on, somebody, put your hands together and bless God. Because the children know how to keep things real. But guess what? Many of the adults joined them in crying Hosanna. So I want to give some adults an opportunity today to join with our children in giving your life to Jesus. Today is your day. I want to give some grown-up man, grown-up woman, a chance to say, yes, Jesus, I put my life in your hands. Elders, walk up and down the aisle and look for that lost soul, that man, that woman that's wrestling. Stop wrestling and surrender. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. The children are leading, but you need to follow. Spirit of God is speaking to you today. Come on. Come on. Child of God, step out by faith. Step out and follow God's plan for your life. How long will you hold out on Jesus? He's offering you eternal life. Come on, girl. Come on, baby. Come on. Oh, put your hands together. He's worthy. Worthy to. Oh, why don't you give him all the glory? Thank you, Lord. Oh, bless your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. All right, let me say this to you, and then I'm going to take my seat. Is somebody here who wants Bible study? You want to know what shall I do to join this church? I want to be a member of this church, Pastor. I want somebody to study the Bible with me. And I need more information. I want you to come now also. Come join us. If you want Bible study, you want more information about how to join this church, I want you down here with me right now. Come on. Come on. Who's coming? Who's coming? Come on. Where are you walking with me, baby? Come on. Who else is coming? Who's coming? Come on. Who's coming? You want to be a member of this church? Come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, let me tell you. Let me tell you this. God is doing a mighty thing in this church. You want to be where God is moving, where the Spirit of God is flowing. God is flowing in this building. Somebody else needs to come right now. You want Bible study? You want to be a part of this church? This is your day. This is your moment. This is your time. This is your season. I'm giving you one last chance. I'm getting out your way right now. Come on. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you, child of God? Man, woman, where are you? Thank you, Lord, for speaking life over your children today. Thank you that somebody said yes to you. We pronounce a blessing over these children and these who have come down front, these adults. We bless them in the name of the Lord. We pray that heaven will come down and glory will fill their souls as they begin a brand new journey with Jesus. Fill their hearts with your favor, God. May they walk with the understanding that the favor of God is now upon their lives. The blessing of God is now upon their lives. The grace of God is now upon their lives. The glory of God is going to shine through their lives. I bless them now in the name of Jesus. Cover them with your righteousness. Fill them with holiness, with righteousness, and with your amazing grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everybody say amen. Put your hands together one last time and give God praise. Now, before you go, this is what I need. Brother Hutchinson, Brother Morris, I want you to follow these men. We want to get all your information. We want to pray for you. We want to get you ready for Bible study. We want to teach you that you might follow all that God has planned for you. So follow Brother Hutchinson and Brother Basil Morris. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, He's worthy, He's worthy. Jesus is